we're different dimensions. We have different hormones that's going to affect that. Like the testosterone building like more muscle mass, for example.
Yeah. Like, and like, yeah, cis male bodies have been the default for so long. So it's excluding trans people, gender non-conforming people within the medical system too. So it's just this complete like alienation almost of any body that doesn't fit this very, yeah, patriarchal, heteronormative standard of being. And that's the medical system for everyone. So it's definitely extremely in like unequal, and yeah, it's just frustrating to see.
Yeah, frustrating is like the only word that you can use to like describe all of this. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's so hard to like put it to words that it's just like, you, yeah. You just like want to like squeeze something.
Yeah, exactly. Fury.
Yeah. Cause it's seen as well, like within like misdiagnosis of women as well. Especially they're misdiagnosed all the time. And I think it's like it's sort of when it comes to like the beliefs of certain people that they'll misdiagnose women, and also the kind of some, not say, like I'm not, obviously not saying like all doctors do this, but there'll be some doctors where they instantly like a woman will come with a problem with their periods, for example, and their first thing is like, have you taken, like for me in the UK it's like, have you taken paracetamol and ibuprofen? I'm guessing for like you guys it's Advil.
Yeah,
it's like, have you taken that? And it's like, yeah. And it's like, oh, you're still feeling pain, here's the birth control pill. And that's like the next step type of thing of like dealing with like the pain in periods. It's like, let's just have you not have a period, take the contraceptive pill.
Yeah,
even though the side effects, there's so many.
And it is, yeah, it's interesting that we're talking about how, you know, the male, like the cis male body is the default, and then pretty much the default for doctors who are prescribing things are also male. So there's very little awareness in that arena, I feel like, of how it feels as a woman to be experiencing these pains and illnesses and like ailments. So yeah, that's why it's like, oh, here's just like an Advil or something, and it's not taken so seriously a lot of the time.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading this article and it's talking about the default male phenomenon, and it's like saying the justification for excluding women in clinical trials is that there's this like ancient Greek belief in Western medicine, and it's like a fundamental foundation to Western medicine is that male bodies do an adequate job of representing female bodies.
No.
Yeah. It's like, no. That's the belief that is like one of the fundamental underlying beliefs of Western medicine. And that justifies why women are not seen as often in clinical trials to men.
Yeah. It's crazy. And also just going back to the thing I said earlier about how like mostly male rats would be used in medical trials because like female rats, like it's kind of, they have hormones and it's complicated and, you know, it's expensive. So I think that kind of rhetoric goes into like the medical system today too, where it's like, oh, like the female body is just so complicated, like we can't understand it. But it's like, okay, like women are 51% of the population, and also like the human body is complicated, like men's bodies are complicated too, but we're just not seeing that same idea because we've been studying men's bodies for so long, and now we're just like, honestly, it's been quite recently that we've been like ethically like right, like more, how do I say this, like it's just been recently that there have been like medical studies on women that are ethical and morally right. Like if we look at what's happening in the 50s with the birth control drug, like that was not okay. So it's just been very recently that this kind of testing has been happening, so we have a long way to go.
Yeah, I mean, like as well as like looking at how men, male bodies can adequately reflect female bodies, there's this I remember learning at A-level in sociology, there was a, they're called like the biological theories, and they mainly get disregarded now because they're just too deterministic in terms of trying to be applied to social inequalities. But they had this sort of view that was concrete through all of their theories, that women are developmentally and biologically inferior to men and can be seen as incomplete males.
Oh, yeah. I've heard
even though, like, if you were to look biologically, when you are, like, an embryo in cells, you yeah, all start off as... Yeah, you all yeah. start off as female, and then it, like, changes to become a male. So them saying, like, women are incomplete males.
Yeah, you can flip that around and yeah. be more biologically backed up.
Yeah, and they'll say, like, topics such as, like, women... like, they used to suffer back in, like, the 1900s from this thing called hysteria. And they called it that because of, like, what comes now from the word hysterectomy, like, because of their womb. So the way of curing hysteria was to give them a hysterectomy because the source of their, like, madness was their uterus and womb.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And it's like... that has got to be it. That's the difference between men and women. They have a womb. That's got to be where the hysteria is coming from.
Yeah.
Let's take it out.
Yeah.
And you see it as well with, like, there was a really common procedure, I don't know for how long, but a way of, like, curing women that were suffering from mental illness was a clitoridectomy, just removing the clitoris, because they were like, it's not, like, you don't see it on men. Let's take it away. Type of thing. It's this view that the differences in the male and female anatomy are the explanations to why women are so emotional, why women are so, like, I can't think of another word except, like, emotional, like, why women's moods fluctuate so much. It's got to be, like, within, to do with their reproductive organs, because that's the main difference.
Yeah. Yeah, and there is this strange, like, male obsession with female, like, mental illness or craziness and wanting to remove that and sedate her. And, like, for example, with lobotomies in Ontario from 1948 to 1952, 74% of lobotomies were for women and performed on these female patients who, and it's not even necessarily, like, these women were mentally ill. I think the history of lobotomies, I can't remember exactly, but I just know that it was a way to combat maybe like a housewife who is kind of becoming more, like, angry or, like, any sort of kind of controversial emotion for a woman to have. It's like, okay, we need to remove this. Like, we cannot have this kind of behavior.
Yeah. It's just... the history behind it and the fact that it's still sort of, it's seen but in a more subtle way.
Yeah, because 1958 is like, okay, it's not that long ago still. Like, honestly,
it's like 70 years, I think.
Yeah, like, there's no way the medical system has done, like, a full 180 from this terrible history. And there is still, like, a recurring terrible history within the modern medical system. And we're getting a call, but we're just gonna go to a song. This is Moody Lover's Blues.
swing low, sweet chariot. You're my savior, who I cherish. Keep me warm on a cold night. With your smile, I'll be alright. I was blind without your light. Love of mine, love me just right. Oh, my sweet darling, lovely honeybee. I guess that if you leave, I'm yours.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. arts and entertainment, while you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts, public affairs, interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures, public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
This is Free Voices at CJSF 90.1 FM, talking to you about
Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. We are 10 board of directors and we are rejoicing for world history. Our show is based on true stories, musical and storytelling and role playing, silent crimes broken, very interesting series of show.
And a lot of in-depth oral tradition. We play every Thursday from 3 to 4. Come and join us.
This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Welcome back. We just heard two songs. I think the first one was Moody Lovers Blues by Postmodern Connection, I believe. And then that second one was Birds of Bellwoods, and the song was called Melatonin, and they are a band, I believe, from Toronto. But yeah, that was a little break.
Yeah, sorry for that interruption. We were just in the middle of talking about something.
Yeah, in the middle of a flow.
Yeah, we were talking about, for people just tuning in, my name is Stella.
I'm Rebecca.
And we were talking about the gender bias in the medical industry, especially with the birth control pill. But it is difficult to remember what we were talking about right before the break.
I mean, we'd sort of just delved into a bit of the history behind it, and I think we were focusing quite a bit on how the kind of standard of medical care is based on cis male bodies, mm-hmm. rather than looking at the like female bodies or other forms that you can see. And it's not that that's just the standard and that is applicable to everybody.
Yeah.
To be thinking in regards of like care, safety, medicine, as well as like contraception being invented mainly by men. And yeah, I think that's kind of like where we left off. But I believe we're going to move on a bit more to kind of the procedures of like other contraception for women, mm-hmm. and also the lack of male contraception scene. Yep. I mean, start off with, I'd say, quite a, one that you probably all hear about, which is the IUD. I don't actually know what it stands for in terms of what the actual name of it is.
Intrauterine device.
Beautiful name.
Yeah.
So that is like, it's I would say classed as kind of a pretty reliable form of birth control, mm-hmm. but it's more looking at the procedure of putting it in and removing it, and how, like, I have no idea who invented it, but how there is very little like pain management for women.
Totally.
For it. And all I've heard from my friends that have had it is that it is the worst pain they have ever experienced in their lives.
Yeah.
And it's like not just like having the IUD, but it's also removing it and then like potential risks that come with it. And yet there's like, I don't know the answer to this, but I really would love to know why women are not like put under or given like anesthetic, mm-hmm. or any of that. Why it's sort of like, it's seen as like, It's a 1 minute of pain. You can handle it. Don't worry.
Yeah, and I've heard even from my friends, like the doctors would kind of tell them like, okay, yeah, this is going to be like a bit painful or like slight discomfort or something like that. And then exactly what Rebecca said, I've never heard a good experience with an IUD. Every single one of my friends have said, yeah, worst, most horrific pain of their lives. And it's definitely put me off of ever wanting an IUD.
Yeah, and the only good things I've heard about it is that is they don't have to take the pill.
Yeah.
And they don't have to deal with the side effects from the pill. And I had one friend that she said for that reason, because she had a really bad experience with multiple different types of the birth control pill, that she was like, because of that, she prefers to have the IUD, and that makes the pain worth it. But even she said it's like, the pain's underplayed when the doctor tells you about it.
Yeah.
Done to what you actually feel. And it's not just the procedure, but it's like the days of like cramping afterwards. It's like worse than period cramps.
Yeah.
So it's like a lasting pain that is felt. And the only sort of advice given is take some paracetamol, take some Advil.
Yeah, right.
Have this over-the-counter pain medication, which and doesn't really help.
Yeah, we look at things like taking your wisdom teeth out and people are put under for that. And that's, that's painful. So it's, it is a very interesting question. Like, why are we not taking more steps for something that seems very, like, could just be put into the system. Be like, okay, yeah, like, for IUD insertions or whatever, like, we're gonna give the option, at least, like, put women under or tell them, like, accurately how the pain is gonna be.
Yeah, even if like it's that. Just, like, the option of being put under, like, if people don't want to, they don't want to, but just having the option there, I mean, the sort of underplaying of the pain that we spoke about earlier as well, with like doctors like almost not believing in the pain. And I was reading this sort of article on IUDs, and I feel like it has to have been written by a man, because there is this quote in it that says, like, many people feel perfectly fine getting an IUD, but there could be some cramping and backaches. So it's a great excuse to curl up on the couch with your favorite book or movie. And I was just thinking, in what world, like, having someone write that the pain you get from an IUD is a great excuse.
Imagine that written for any other type of pain or something ever. It's just...
It's a crazy quote that I was just like, and it's the fact that like this website is an updated, like, newly 2024 updated website.
Yeah,
it's not like an article from like 1980 or something.
Mm-hmm. It feels kind of condescending in a way. Like, okay, just, you know,
it's like, oh, you've got like a little headache, like it's okay, just curl up on the sofa,
do some self-care, like little face mask or something. Like, no. It's like, I had a friend who said the cramping after was worse than even the insertion of the IUD. So it's like, I don't know if you're gonna want to be reading a book or anything. Like, you're probably just in your bed, like, sobbing, potentially.
Yeah, I mean, you look at, like, some people that experience, like, cramping and stuff from endometriosis, and that's just on the periods, and, like, they can't even get out of bed.
Yeah.
Like, it's too much pain. So I couldn't even imagine what the pain is like for an IUD. And it's similar, like, not similar in terms of the pain, but with an implant. I mean, you look at, like, how people get an implant, and it's, like, this big needle, and it goes in, and then the removal process of it, it's so, like, invasive.
So gruesome.
Yeah. I mean, we were looking at it the other day. And we look at it, like, we probably shouldn't have clicked on images, but we did. Yeah. And it was, like, they described it as, like, a small cut to get it out. And it was, like, that's not a small cut. Like, that's a proper, like, you've sliced open.
Yeah.
To get it out.
Someone's arm. And for the implant, for those of you who don't know, it's just like this metal rod that goes into your arm. Mm. And it's pretty thick. Like, it's pretty big.
Yeah.
So, scary.
It's like just how invasive those options are. And then you weigh it up against your other option, which is basically like the birth control pill.
Mm.
And that is just more like, I would say the consequences like are almost on the same level, but then more affect you mentally than physically.
Yeah.
Like the amount of cases you hear of like women getting depression on the pill, or like anxiety, or like any list of like sort of mental illness.
Yeah, and it's crazy because one of the main reasons that men's contraceptive or like birth control has not been approved is because of the side effects. And these are side, like women are suffering from all of these horrific side effects. I think there is this shoulder gel that's being introduced for men. They just have to like put on their shoulders, like
God, the once horror. A day. The horror of the shoulder gel.
Right. And there's very few side effects that I was reading. There's like maybe some hair loss potentially or something like that, but compared to the plethora, like it's like a it's an insane amount. It's like an encyclopedia of like side effects for women's birth control pills.
I mean, hair loss, that is catastrophic.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like alongside that you have male contraception. Like when you're taught contraception in school, there are some forms of male contraception. They're very few, but you're not taught about them. I mean, I only discovered them researching for this.
Yeah.
As particularly one, which was spermicide. And it's a really interesting thing. It's literally called just like the male birth control. And it comes as like a, I guess like a kind of like solution, a liquid. And then there's also spermicide condoms where the liquid's like on top of the condom and like into it. But even that as a form of male birth control, spermicide has to get injected into the woman.
Yeah.
So it's classed as male, but it's being done to the woman because it just basically kills off the sperm.
Yeah.
And I was like, so your form of male birth control, like just for everybody, this is like the list of male birth controls that were given out. It's pulling out spermicide, vasectomy, abstinence, and condoms. And condoms, even then, there are also female versions.
Yeah.
So you look at like how many forms of contraception there are for women to prevent unwanted pregnancies and stuff. But there's not much for the men, except there was, I know that there is a trial going on for sort of a procedure that's, it's sort of similar I can't remember. It's similar to a female form of contraception where they'll inject this sort of gel into the tube that carries the sperm, and it blocks the tube so the sperm can't get through, and then it will dissolve after a certain time.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah, so it's not like long-term, like, invasive. But
that's like the most invasive one that's coming aside from vasectomy, and that's like in, that was like in clinical trials in like 2022. So we could be moving somewhere. We could be moving up, but
who knows? It is just crazy looking at the history of female birth control and how, you know, it's not held to the same standards as figuring out an acceptable male birth control alternative. But we are coming to the end of our program now. I wish we could talk a little bit more, but we just don't have the time today.
Such an interesting topic for the morning discussion.
Yeah, 10 a.m.
Yeah, nice. He doesn't want to be talking about contraception.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see you guys next week on Intravenous. Thank you all for listening.